Morning. Today's daf is daf Samech Vav in Avodah Zarah. A little bit behind. We're in Samech Hay. Samech Hay and Aleph, we are at the two dots. The Mishnah taught us that that if you do other work with them, that's fine. You can't work with the Ayin Nesach. You can't get paid for working with the Ayin Nesach. The Mishnah taught us that just not allowed to be involved in the betterment of Yai Nesach. You can't support Yai Nesach. You can't get any type of gain from Yai Nesach. But when it comes to doing other work, that's fine. Even if that other work has some Yai Nesach involvement. So yesterday we talked about the case about moving barrels. One of the barrels was Yai Nesach. We differentiated yesterday between the contractual employment that you have. One barrel for 1 cent versus 100 barrels for 100 cents. Okay, that was yesterday's discussion. Today's discussion is going to be on the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the Mishnah back in Samech Beis Amud Aleph, if you hire out your donkey in order to transport Yain Nesach, you can't do that. You can't do that, and if you do that, the wages that you earned are going to be Aser. Because again, you're promoting Yain Nesach. Mm-hmm. However, if he hired you to transport him himself, and he puts it on his lap, that's okay. That would be fine. Okay, we're in the Gemara. We are starting at the two dots, and we're on the bottom. Samech Amud Aleph, and let us get underway. So first of all, the Gemara says right away, isn't this just a repeat performance of what we saw in the first half of the Mishnah? The Gemara says no. So the Gemara says no, but there is a chiddush in that even though he puts the Yai Nesach on his lap, it's still going to be mutter. Lememra. So now this turns into a basic question. And look, every time we go on the plane, we deal with this question. What can you take with you on the plane and what can you not take with you on the plane, right? And I know this is a hot topic in the traveling industry, right? Can you take one carry-on, two carry-ons? How about...
Liquid, right. Your guitar,
you know,
you're safer.
Right. Yeah. Maybe my phone shouldn't count as one of my carry... Right? Mm-hmm. And the question now becomes, what are you entitled to take with you? Lamemer delagin lab dinahu lo suve. So the Gemara says, look, does he have the right to take the Yai Nesach and put it on his lap? So the Gemara says, it would seem for the Mishnah that it's not appropriate, that's not correct, very minute. But the Gemara says, okay, but now let's turn to Bav Metzia. And now we're just going to go to our Bav Metzia halachas about what you are or are not entitled to take with you when you contract a donkey to drive you. So if you rent out a chamor, so in other words, you want to travel a certain distance, and you hire a donkey, okay? Transportation of the 4th century. So you want to hire a donkey, fine. So what kind of food can you put on the donkey? Enough food, enough clothing, enough drink to last the whole ride. You have every entitlement to do so. And for a simple reason. Because you're not going to get off the donkey and go out and shop. In other words, your expectation, of course, is that this is going to last you for the whole trip. For the duration of the whole trip. Mikan ve'elech chamar ma'akev. What if you want to take more food than that? The donkey driver says, no, no, no. That's enough. Right. Too much for my donkey. You packed enough. Okay, good. You have enough to last you the whole ride? Good. Stop. Chamar meiniach aleha. What about the donkey driver? What can he put on the donkey? Meaning he also wants the donkey to carry his stuff as well. So what is he entitled to put on the donkey? Chamar meiniach aleha. Sorim v'tev umazonos of shel osa hayom. He can put one day's worth of food on the donkey. And then the renter says to the donkey driver, no, that's enough. Right, you don't need more than one day's worth. So, now, the obvious question, after learning this braisa from Bav Metzia, how come the guy riding the animal, the renter, the guy renting it, let's call it that, how come he could put enough food for the whole journey, and how come the driver can only put food on for one day's journey? Okay, that's an obvious question. We'll come back to that, because that obviously needs dealing with. So, but still, we bring this over here for the following. You can for sure put on food on the donkey, when you're riding on the donkey. So, somebody says to you, somebody comes over to you and says to you, I want to rent your donkey and I want to put wine on the donkey. He has every right to do that. Every single right to do that. So I'm rabbi, nihid lagin dino hulo suva mi alo mosiv le mi amrina le nechi le agra de legina so. I'm sorry, yeah. Nechi le agra. Right? The Gemara says, look, you're absolutely right. Can he bring stuff with him? Yeah. Can he bring food with him? Absolutely. Are you going to... Do you have the right to reduce the rental agreement because he doesn't take food with him? No. Right? Again, going back to... It's still the same fee. Going back to our analogy. Right? I'm going to go to JetBlue. You know I only have one carry-on. So, I I should pay less. No, of course. I got no carry-ons. Right? They're going to laugh at you. In other words, no. The ticket is the ticket. What if you aren't allowed to take two items on with you, but they're not going to charge you less if you take if you don't take it on with you. So same thing over here. The Yayin Esech, he wants to put the Yayin Esech on his lap during the ride. He has every right to do that. Isn't that wages for the Yayin Esech? No, it's not. Because if he didn't take it on, the wage, the fee would still be the same fee. There's nothing to gain and there's nothing to lose by him either having or not having the Yayin Esech on his lap.
Yeah, but the Jew knew that he was going to take that in advance.
But that's but it's not schar. You're right, but it's not schar. The Isser is on schar. Okay, now deliginaso hechidami. Ita shchirch lemizbein chamar nami laakev. Ita lo shchirch lemizbein socher nami lo laakev. So now we're going to go back to the brisa, and we're going to deal with the basic problem in the brisa. When it comes to the guy who is the rider, the guy who's renting out the donkey, he can take food for the whole journey. But the driver, he can only take food for one day. Why? Why the discrepancy? So Amara Papa lo tzricha d'shchiach lemitrach lemizvan me'avna la'avna chamar darkei lemitrach lemizvan socher lav darkei lemitrach ulemizvan. So Gemara says, look, every single time they stop, they go, they travel for a day and they stop. When they stop at an inn or whatever lodging place they have.
Driver gets something.
Driver goes and buys things. He's used to that. That's part of his occupation. So for him, the expectation is, look, bring one day's food because you know tonight you're going to stop at a lodging place and you know tonight you're going to be able to go out and get stuff. It's not normal for a rider, for a passenger, to get out and to buy food at these places. I guess these places are not convenience stores. You know, they're...
But
it's right, correct. So for the driver, he can get out, he can buy new food. For the passenger, he's not expected to do so, therefore he's allowed to bring food for the whole journey. Good. Okay, everything's all cleared up now, and now we understand why it's not schar for the passenger to put the Yayin Esech on his lap. Avu de Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Ika, father of Rav Acha, son of Rav Ika, a very strange way to refer to somebody. Hava shafich luchamer laovdei kochavim. V'azo me'avra luhu me'avra. V'yava legufei ba'agra. Okay. Look at this business arrangement. Look at Rashi who describes this business arrangement. Hava shafich luchamer laovdei kochavim. First Rashi on the top of the page. Hu ha'yamoch lam yayin. V'derech lamoch rechavir shayayin liten gama chavios lelokham. V'hacha amrinim ba'amavkid. Ika gufa v'shadre shalokech mochro v'charnos mistaker behem lavad mashu mistaker b'yayin. Okay, so what happened is that when wine was sold on a wholesale basis, so not only do you sell the wine, but you sell the barrels with it. Barrels come with the wine. It's part of the sale, right? It's negotiated, it's included in the price. You get the wine and you get the barrels as well. Okay? And what he would do is that he would pour from his barrel into, what are they? They're like thermoses.
Flasks,
whatever they're called. So he would pour them into Havashafaklu Khamar La Ovdikochavim, into the Ovikochavim, and then he would go to he would then put them on the boat and send them across the river. So now there's a couple of issues going on over here.
He would do it himself.
Right here he would
deliver it himself.
Right now, yes. And then in just a moment we're gonna say no. Okay, but right now, yes.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so good. So what's the problem? So the wine's in his barrel, that's fine. Now he's going to pour it into their flasks. Well, their flasks is saturated with the Ayin Esach. So the moment that he pours into their flask, now the wine now becomes the Ayin Esach. And then he puts them on a ferry and he sends them across the river. Okay, so Abaye says, look, when he's pouring he's pouring it from his barrel. Rashi says, because what happens is the wine doesn't become usur until it actually hits the floor of their flask. Zikisha or gufish or cheres. Rashi gives us a little bit of definitions over here. Zikim are made up of leather. Gufi is made up of earthenware. So the Gemara says, fine. So in other words, it's not yayin esach yet until it goes into their flask. So as he's pouring, it's not yet yayin esach. Okay, so that's not a problem. So the Gemara says, okay, but...
What's these wineskins? Was that like something they poured it in before it went, hit, touched the actual barrel? Is that what it's
saying? No, the barrel's where it was. The barrel is where the wine was.
Now it's being poured into.
And now he's pouring it from the barrel into the wineskins. Yes.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, okay, but look, he wants the wine flasks not to break, clearly. Because he needs the goods to be delivered without the wine flasks breaking. And Damasni Bahadar, so the Gemara says he made it tonight. He made a condition with them saying, look, I'm not going to be responsible if they break. Inami Damaisu Prisadki Bahadayu. Or what they did, meaning these non-Jewish buyers, is that they bought Prisadki Bahadayu, their own little jugs with them in the event that the flasks would break. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about step three? Step three is that he would put them on a boat and he would ferry them over the river. So that seems like he is servicing now the buyers of the Yayin Esach, so that now, okay, so when he poured it, it wasn't Yayin Esach yet. And after it went into the flask, it's not Rotze Bikiyumo because... And we're not worried if the flasks break. But what about the third stage where he ferries them across the river? So the Gemara says, "Da'amrei lemavruya meikara." So the Gemara says, gives two answers to this. Answer number one, he went to the ferryman beforehand and he said to the to them beforehand, see those guys over there, I want you to transport those guys. And Rashi writes, Rav Ika Resh Nahara Hava. Rav Ika was the head of the river. Right? He was commissioner over the river. And being the commissioner, so he gives him certain rights and abilities, and he says to the ferryman, you see those guys over there? You'll transport them over the ferry for free. So he's not getting any type of benefit, financial benefit, for ferrying them over the river. Right, Inami, the Gemara gives another answer, Nikita be Kitra. They wore special bands on the wrists that allowed them free passage over the river, meaning, but he didn't ferry them himself over the river. Okay. There's certainly a benefit, for sure.
By asking the ferry operator to take them, he wasn't benefiting. Because there's another person in
the Yeah, because,
is that
right.
What it is?
Correct. And apparently they would do it for him. Okay, good. And that ends that discussion about getting paid for Yayin Nesach. Okay, we move on to the new Mishnah. And now, welcome to Yeridea. Okay? And anyone who is interested in getting Smicha, so these are the types of Gemaras that they go through. Terminology that we're going to be using over the course of the next week, a little bit less than that, of Nosin Tam of Gan, Min Bimino, Min Bishaino Mino, Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa. Right? Takes you back to the days where, right, all these things actually meant something to you and you remembered what they were. However, this Mishnah over here in the upcoming Gemara is going to be a detailed analysis of Hilchos Tarovis. What happens when you have mixtures of Isser and Heter? You'll get more comfortable as we go through it. Unfortunately, the Gemaras are very short and very punctuated. There's not a lot of Gemara that discusses it, and so it's going to be like a crash course in Tarovis. Let's start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah describes the following scenario. Yain esach shenafal al gabe anavim. Tarovis means mixture. Yain esach that falls on top of grapes. Okay, so you have now a mixture of wine and grapes. Now, when we say wine over here, we could be talking about one of two types of wine. We could be talking about an old vintage wine, meaning something that's wine, it has already alcoholic content, and that doesn't taste like grapes. Right? Grapes and wine have two different tastes to it. Now, wine, of course, is a product of the grape, but because it's been fermented, so it has a totally new taste to it. We could also be talking about grape juice, meaning back in the time, yain could be yain chadata, it could be fresh wine. It's just squeezed. Granted, of course, is that it's not fermented, it's not alcoholic, and it pretty much has the same taste as the grapes. So, in our Mishnah, it could right now be, we could be talking about min b'mino or min b'she'eno mino. Now, the Mishnah chooses, to be perfectly honest right now, a very strange example of a tarovis, in that wine is a liquid and grape is a solid. And I will make the full admission that it's strange, of all the examples that we could be talking about in the world of tarovis, to give this example of wine and grapes. It would have been better, we're going to be discussing over the course of this morning and tomorrow, situations of vinegar and wine and liquids getting mixed together. And that's just a easier way to describe a tarovis. Not the wine and grape scenario, but of course it's the Mishnah, and we will deal with the Mishnah.
This is the source from the wine, so it's...
Yayin esach shenaf agabe anavim yidichein. So wine, not just wine, by the way, but yayin esach, right? The real deal. Right, something which is libated, prohibited. Aser b'achil, aser b'shtia, I'm sorry, aser b'shtia, aser b'hana, falls on top of grapes. So yidichin mehim mutaros. So, not a problem. Grapes have this unbelievable skin over it. The grape skin obviously protects the grape. So the Mishnah says, just put under water, rinse it, and you're good to go. Im hayu mevukaos. But what if the grapes had cracks in the grapes? Okay? So not good grapes, but they already start to break, and there's cracks in the peel, and now the wine goes into the grapes. Now what? Asuros. So it says the Mishnah that they are absolutely prohibited.
So you have to check the grapes one by one.
Nafal al gabe te'inim or al gabe tamarim. What if the wine falls on either figs or on dates? Im yesh bahem beno sein tam aser. If it imbues a taste, okay. First terminology that we're going to be we're going to greet is nesinas tam, imbues a taste. Now, no sein tam means like this, meaning that there's enough wine where when I eat, in this case, the fig or the date, I taste the wine. We assume in halacha, although the Gemara never uses this term here, right? Rashi tells us. We assume in halacha that when it's a ratio of 1 to 60, so there is nesinas tam, right? Meaning that if there is one part of one thing and 60 parts of another, you taste the one.
It's more than that. It's more than 1/60th.
If it is, the ratio is greater than 1/60th, meaning that if it's 1 to 59, 1 to 58, 1 to 57, you're going to taste it. 1 to 60... already, it's too small amount, you don't taste it. Now, please keep this in mind throughout this entire discussion. These ratios of 1 to 60, 1 to 59, 1 to 58, we only have this conversation in lach, in the world of liquids. We don't have this discussion in solids. Meaning, I get hot dogs mixed up together, right? One hot dog gets mixed up with a couple of other hot dogs. There's no imparting of taste. One hot dog does not impart its taste into another hot dog. That's yavish b'yavish. That's a different discussion altogether. Our discussion over here revolves around lach, revolves around liquids imparting tastes into other liquids. That's why I point out that the case study of our Mishnah is a little bit strange, because we're talking about liquids imparting a taste into a solid food. So it's a little bit strange, and I acknowledge that, but still, that's the case the Mishnah is dealing with.
It's also, even if it's lefgam, I mean, either
they... Okay, wait. Okay, no, that's good. Okay, you're right on the money. Just one second. It's fine. Agabe tamarim im yesh benos in tam aser. So, the Mishnah tells us that If the wine imparts taste into the dates or the figs, so the consequential, the resulting mixture is going to be aser. And then the Mishnah tells a story. So story time, on a boat, barrel of Yain Nesach on the boat, barrel breaks and saturates all the figs and all the dates. And he goes to the Chachamim and he says, I have an issue. I have my dates and they were flooded with Yain Nesach. And the Chachamim says it's mutter. Now, when you read the Mishnah, you say, wait a second, I didn't expect him to say mutter. I expect him to say aser. Because we just learned a line ago, in Yeshba Menos in time, it's going to be aser. So that's a little bit strange, and the Gemara is going to pick up on that right away. Before we get to the Gemara, let's finish the Mishnah. Zaklal. Kol shebehanasa b'no sein tam aser, kol she'ein b'nahanasa b'no sein tam mutter. You always have to look, even though there's nesinas tam, even though it gives a taste, then you have to go and ask another question. Did it benefit the food, or is it detrimental to the food? If it benefited the food, so that's no sein tam aser. If it's detrimental to the food, so that's no sein tam, and that's going to be mutter. This is another concept called no sein tam lifgam. No sein tam lifgam means, even though it imparted a taste, if it was detrimental to the food that it imparted to, so then the food is going to still be acceptable, still going to be mutter. Kigon, the Mishnah gives us a very clear example. Chomish enafa ala grisim. Vinegar on top of, what is it, beans?
Split beans.
Noch besser. Right? Vinegar on top of beans. Meaning, even if the vinegar is prohibited, but vinegar on beans? Oh, that's disgusting. Who wants vinegar on beans? Right? Again, as far as what your own palates are concerned, and you may agree, disagree, that's nice. I'm just dealing with the concepts. The concept over here is that the Mishnah is making an assumption, a fundamental assumption, that vinegar on beans is detrimental to the beans. It doesn't help the beans. It doesn't enhance the flavor of the beans. Just the opposite. It takes away from it. So therefore, that mixture is going to be mutter. This is what's called no sein tam lifgam.
The wine that went on the figs accidentally.
Right.
Where's the benefit going to come back if it was detrimental? He's going to sell it to somebody. Who's he going to sell it to people with a vote of Zara? So he's going to get a benefit ultimately from the Yain Nesach.
Wait, just one second. Let's first deal with the Tarovis issues.
Detrimental effect overrides the 168?
Detrimental effect, even if it's greater than 160,
yes,
it's still going to be mutter. Even, right, no Saint Tom of God means, in other words, I'm tasting the vinegar.
Right,
but the vinegar on my split, who wants that?
It makes it taste worse.
Yeah, it makes it now an inferior product.
No, but if it's bearable, meaning like if it's like half and half vinegar, half something else, half wine.
Okay, but
is that acceptable?
But you're talking about shades of gray now. Let's not talk about shades of gray. Let's just deal with the basic concepts as they're presented,
right.
and then afterwards we can play around. But let's just deal with the basic concepts.
I'm going to get to the wine and the figs. I mean, if I want to eat figs and I taste the wine, that means that's subjective. I mean, I want
right. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying.
It?
Right now, we just deal with the basic concepts and objective versus subjective.
He allowed it. So what does that mean?
Okay, so let's.
What does that mean? That.
So let's see the Gemara. Okay, Maisa Listor. So the Gemara says right away the story is disturbing because the Mishnah said that once wine goes on figs, so then it's no Saint Thomas, assuming that it imparts the taste, it's going to be elsewhere. And then we have a story of a boat. And the wine breaks and saturates all the figs on the boat. And they went to the Chacham, and the Chacham said, go for it, it's fine. So Maisa Lister Chitzur Mechzer V'Hachi Ketani. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we need to do is we need to flesh out the Mishnah. There's more to the Mishnah than meets the eye. It's what's called Chitzur Mechzer. There's a missing part of the Mishnah. A basic debate that takes place all the time when we say Chesira Mechzera. It means there was an actual part missing in the Mishnah. Does it mean that this is just the pshat that we're reading into the Mishnah? Okay, for another time. But Lich Chesira Mechzera Hakikitaniim, no Saint Tam Levgamhu, Mutter. Oh. In other words, there's a clause in the Mishnah that's important to realize that you don't see when you read the Mishnah. It's not there, but be aware of the following. Even if it imparts taste, no Saint Tom of Gam is mutter. If the taste is detrimental to the food, if the end result is now the food is in a worse state than it was originally, that's going to be mutter. Good. So in other words, now you're looking at the Mishnah in two stages. Stage one is the idea of no Saint Tom. If it imparts a taste, it's going to be usur. And if it doesn't impart a taste, it's going to be mutter. Meaning, that's a ratio discussion. Then the Mishnah moves on to stage two. Even if there's nesinas tam, even if it does impart a taste, but if the resulting taste is detrimental to the original food, so even then it's going to be mutter, and this is a concept of nosin tam of gam. Okay? So the first part of the Mishnah is ratio. Second part of the Mishnah is even if you have ratio, no Saint Tom of Gam. Now we can go to the story. And they said that it's mutter, and they said it's mutter simply because no Saint Tom of Gam. Because they felt that the wine disturbed the taste of the of the dates.
Shouldn't the Mishnah have been
Right. Again, that goes back to the Chasur Mechsara. If the Mishnah is actually missing, so it gets a little.
If you would have just gotten rid of the Vav, I would have read the Chasur Mechsara.
Right. But that right, the Vav connects it to the previous part of the Mishnah. The previous part of Mishnah absolutely contradicts what the story is telling us. So that's why you need to insert.
Why can't figs be washed?
Huh?
Figs, why can't they be
so again the assumption is that they have crevices and cracks and they absorb. That's the assumption.
It's
soft. There is a barrel. A pile of wheat kernels, that is, and chavita d'yayin esach, and a barrel of wine broke. Well, I'm assuming it broke, but regardless of how it happened, spilled and poured on top of the wheat kernels. What do we do? Shaya Rabbi Lizvula of the Kochavim. So Rabbi says, okay, sell it to goyim. What's the big deal? Sell it to Goyim.
Somebody's getting benefit. Right?
Okay.
What?
Right. Okay. So, Eisvei Rabba Bar Levi LeRava. So the Gemara says, that's strange. Why would you do that? Why would you allow that? Begeshava Bo Kalayim HaReza Elohim Kernel Avikochavim. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Mishnah over here deals with the following scenario. Let's say you have a beggar. Let's say you have a garment. Garment is made out of wool. And for whatever reason, maybe you were tailoring the suit, and you, for just a moment you threw a little stitch of linen into the suit. Temporarily, you're going to take it out, and now you know that there's a thread of linen running through the suit, and you forgot where you put it in the suit. And you look up and down the suit, and you look all over the suit, and you can't find it, but you know it's there. So, you can't wear the suit. Right, one thread of linen was going to prohibit the whole suit. So, so now, there's two things. Number one, the given, which is that it's aser. That's a given. Two is that you can't sell it to a non-Jew. Because even though he doesn't have this prohibition called kalayim, no, it's not aser b'ana.
No,
it's not aser b'ana. You can't sell it to a non-Jew because then what he's going to do is he's going to turn around and he's going to sell it to another Jew. So lo yim karina lo v'kochavim v'lo yaseh n'mardasa chamer. You can't use it as a saddle for your donkey, even though you're not wearing it. You're just sitting on it, but that's also prohibited. Avaloso so tachrichan la meis mitzvah. But the only thing you can do is you can make it tachrichan for a meis mitzvah. You can make it as death shrouds. That's what you can do with it. Okay. Now, what we're going to do now is the following. We're going to finish the Gemara. We're going to finish the Gemara's answer, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to discuss some of the most basic issues regarding the given, that it's aser, the meis mitzvah discussion. But first, let me just finish the flow of the Gemara, and then I'll come back. So the Gemara says, look, I can't take the kalayim suit, the wool and linen suit, and sell it to a non-Jew, because he's going to turn around and sell it back to a Jew. Hachinami, asul lizvun liyisramal. And so over here also. So you have wine now, yayin nesach, that went into the wheat, and your solution is, oh, sell it to a non-Jew? Are you kidding me? You can't sell it to a non-Jew. He's going to come back and he's going to resell it back to another Jew, an unsuspecting other Jew, and you can't do that. So the Gemara says, you're right. So he says, okay, point well taken. So you know what? Take this wheat that was saturated with yayin nesach, grind it up, make bread out of it, and then sell it to a non-Jew, because he will not turn around and sell it to another Jew, because you're not going to buy bread from a non-Jew. Okay, fine. That's the story over there. First and foremost, deal with some of the more basic issues, right? Very fundamental issues. Look at Tosfos HaBegash Ava Bo Kalayim. You have a suit, it's wool. 100% wool, and a thread of linen is running through the suit. And you lost it, and you lost where the linen thread is. So Tosfos asked here the following question. The Imtar Mevelibata Baruba. Okay. We have a concept throughout Halacha of what's called Rov. Majority. So I have a suit, it's 100% wool. There's one thread of linen running through the suit. So why don't you say bittul? Why don't you just simply say bittul? Ki deparach v'shili tamur gabi seir b'chor v'seir nazir sh'arag b'beged v'sham haya batel ilav demukila b'shufrasa shu'davar chashav la batel. Okay? Quotes the Gemara in Tamura that basically suggests along these lines that there should be this concept of bittul. And Tosfos over here provides a fundamental answer. V'tirat harav rabbeinu Yosi bar Rav Yom Tov d'shani kalayim. Kalayim is different. The Isser of Kalayim is different. D'chol ikaram ein osrin ella al yedei eruv. Because the Isser of Kalayim is ta'arovis. The whole way to get to the prohibition of Kalayim is through a mixture. Sha'ari shneim heter, because look, wool by itself is fine. Linen by itself is fine. It's only the mixture of the two that creates the Isser. So there is no discussion of bittul. Because bittul presupposes I have an isser, it gets mixed in with something which is mutter. Now we could talk about majority, and majority coming and knocking out the minority. But if the whole prohibition is created through tarovis, so then there's never a discussion of bittul. Now you'll turn around and you'll say, never? What do you mean? Meat and milk. Meat by itself is mutter, milk by itself is mutter, and the two get together and they create this isser called basar b'chalav of meat and milk. Mm-hmm. So according to what Tosfos just laid down for us, there should never be bittul by basar b'chalav. Right. One drop of milk falls into meat, right? Forget ratio, 100 to 1, 1,000 to 1, just like the linen thread prohibits a wool suit, one drop of milk should prohibit an entire pot of meat. Lekach oser eruv v'lo batli v'im tomar. So now we go to step two of Tosfos. Harei basar b'chalav d'chol echad l'chut shari v'eruvo aser v'afilo hachi batul k'adamrinim v'perek kol abasar tipas chal shenaf l'achatichas basar yesh benos in tam. Right? The Gemara in Chulin tells us there is something called bittul in the world of basar b'chalav. We know that. We know there's bittul by basar b'chalav. But based on what the fundamental rule that Tosfos gives us, why should it be? So basar b'chalav is going to be different because there's a gilui hakra. The Torah tells us that by basar b'chalav, derech bishul asra Torah. The Torah, when presenting to us basar b'chalav, it doesn't say, don't eat meat and milk together. The Torah says, don't cook meat and milk together. This is a concept called derech bishul asra Torah. We get to Chulin, we'll see this concept a lot. And Tosfos says, you know what we get from that concept? Bittul. That even though, based on the fundamental rule of heter v'heter equaling isser, and there's never bittul under such circumstances, basar b'chalav is going to be different. Because basar b'chalav, derech bishul asra Torah, Torah prohibits it only in an act of bishul. Bishul means I'm adding the milk in because it's going to impart a taste. If it doesn't impart a taste, so then it's subject to bittul. Okay. So this,
you know, that's the issue. So that's, you know, there's no Bosel Falav, you know, the mixture, you know, I know the Bochumut separately, but Shatnez is Shatnez. I mean, otherwise there's no Isar Shatnez, you know, if you don't say.
All right.
It's a different mixture.
What about the ratio of when you can?
Because what Phil said, I think it was the opposite direction.
Really?
Shatnez, by definition, it has to be a garment that's woven together. The Torah says, which says that the milk and meat are only usher if they're mixed together.
Right.
So it sounds to me that would argue the shatnez and musbachah are the same.
Right. Tosfos assumes they're the same. He feels that they're the same.
But it says cooking.
But right.
And it's,
then,
and it's
cooking, right.
Right. And lo sobash shatnez, phrase
different ways. Shatnez is just a combination. There's no action, just combination.
No.
Well, it requires an action. For sure requires an action.
It's not, if you have two beds, it has to be begged,
right, but
which means they had to be combined, which means they had to be sewn together.
Right. Okay. Hey, listen, this comes up a couple times.
Is this the halacha?
Yeah.
That place. Is this the halacha that we assume that there's no bittul b'shabbos?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shabbos laboratories assume there's one.
Right. Right. One thread. Absolutely. Absolutely.
The milk and meat, you said that if it's just like, there's no ratio.
In principle, there shouldn't be a ratio, because it's like shatnez. Because this is motor and this is motor, and only when I combine the two, I create iser. So in principle, it should be just like shatnez, and therefore there shouldn't be ratios. And Tosfos deals with the fact, yeah, but we know there are ratios by Basel Bechalov. So he says that's because Basel Bechalov, the way the Torah frames it, is bishul. And cooking means I'm putting this in because it's going to impart a taste.
The ratio is the 1:60.
And the ratio is going to be, the ratio will be 1:60.
Like you said, the ratio is only for liquid and liquid, not solid to liquid.
Again, that's why I'm saying, when I say liquid and liquid, I mean the liquid comes in and dissipates and spreads out. Other basic issue we'll discuss this morning, quickly, is tachrich lameis. So I have shatnez, so what can I do with shatnez? So I can make it for a shroud for a dead person. For a mace.
Can't do a mitzvah.
And he's done. He's out of the discussion of doing mitzvahs. So Tosfos over here, again, this Tosfos is a popular Tosfos. He makes this point many times throughout Shas. So he says like this. It's two more Tosfos him down. Avaloson sotachrich lemeis mitzvah. V'hu adin b'lo avakid namesach es kalayim. Shevesi. Look, even if you know, in other words, the Mishnah's case is a strange case. I lost the linen thread in the wool suit. Okay. Even if I know that there's linen thread, meaning I made a beged shatnez, I could take that and use it for a death shroud. V'im tamar ha'ika lo'ig l'rash kadam rim begabit shtetzes perikat chelas v'ayishayta vada ramin elu misham lo'ig l'rash perish ba'os o'shah sheik v'ru yatilu bot shtetzes misham lo'ig l'rash. We have this concept of lo'ig l'rash. Lo'ig l'rash literally means making fun of a poor person, right? Imagine walking through the street, seeing somebody poor and indigent and asking for money, and you roll down your window and you make fun of him. Right? That's obviously as insensitive as you could possibly be, and something which the Torah says is absolutely not the way to behave. Not the way to behave. So now, you have somebody who is a rush, meaning that he can no longer do mitzvahs. Right? He lost that opportunity because he's no longer alive. And you're going to sit there and say, look, I can't wear these klaim, you know that. But you, go ahead, wear the kalayim. It's a concept of lo'eg l'rosh. You're making fun of him. In fact, Tosfos says, in Menachos, which we'll see not that long from now, in Menachos we're going to see that once the person's dead, we put tzitzis on the body, and we bury the body in tzitzis. Because of this concept of lo'eg l'rosh, we don't want him to be buried without tzitzis, so we'll put tzitzis on him. So Tosfos says, I don't understand. We're going to go through the trouble of putting tzitzis on him. And then we'll put shatnez on him? That's strange. So Tosfos gives over here two basic answers. So Yatil Batzitz Mishum Lo Glorash and Irish Einu Chay B'Mitzos. Okay, the Yesh Lomar. So answer number one here in Tosfos. The Shani Tzitzis Shehishkula Kenega Kol HaMitzvos. Tzitzis is more symbolic. Tzitzis is the symbolic mitzvah, meaning it's a mitzvah, right? But a mitzvah that has tremendous symbolism. It's Shkula Kenega Kol HaMitzvos. Tzitzis is corresponds to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. First of all, the simple pshat. I read the pasuk. I read it in Kriya Shema. Reason was so, the Chartam is called Mitzvos Hashem. I see them and I remember all the Mitzvos Hashem. Then on top of that, the Gemara tells us that there are 8 strings and 5 knots, and the Gematria of Tzitzis is 613. So Tzitzis is connected all the Mitzvos. So because of its symbolism, I'm not going to take a mace and put him in the ground, and without Tzitzis, it's just... It's too important.
Well, you cut the scissors.
That's what we do.
We do.
Because he's positive for mitzvah.
Well, one of them.
But in other words, we go through the trouble. You're right. But we go through the trouble putting the scissors on.
Right.
Meaning, right? Don't put it on to begin with.
Right.
Right.
Okay. The towels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
tzitzis. And then the minhag is to cut the tzitzis.
No, you cut it off.
You cut off one corner and okay, but
do Sephardic. But
you know, it's funny. I've never been with a Sephardic chaver kaddisha. I do not know their minhagim.
But okay. I thought that they cut it exactly for the same reason the Tosfos says.
Right.
No, I thought you cut it because of the same reason the Tosfos says you put it on, that you don't want to make fun because you can't do the mitzvah, so you put them in towels.
Right. I told you I'm not going to go through it. I'm not going to go through it now. I tell a story with the Archa Shochan quotes with the Gra, but all right, not for now.
Back when you do the Tahara, you put your tzitzis in so that they...
That's correct, because of Loeg L'Rosh, because you don't want to make fun of him. But again, but Tosfos is bothered by the fact, why do we go through the trouble of putting tzitzis on? Oh, because we don't want him to feel bad. So then, and then you're going to bury him in Kalayim? Right? So how do you understand that? So the first answer of Tosfos is because tzitzis is more symbolic. It's keneged kol haTorah kula. It reminds us of all the mitzvot of Hashem. The Ika Loeg Tfei. And there's a greater aspect of Loeg. Okay? Second answer in Tosfos. Interesting answer. Skip. Let me find it. Right? Right, four lines from the bottom of Tosos. Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Hayimechalik b'Rishonim shayulahem b'chayem davu zehir b'mitzvot tzitzis kol yemehem ilo raminan hayishayta havei la'a klomer lo kimo. Rabbeinu Yitzchak says something which is just difficult to understand, but he says it, and he says it a number of times throughout Shas, and he goes like this. He says, look, the Rishonim, the earlier generations, they wore tzitzis all the time, right? Go back to our forefathers. I mean, Rabbeinu Yitzchak is saying this. So, in other words, in the 12th century, he's already talking about going back to the olden days. But you go back to the olden days, and people wore tzitzis all the time. The garments that they wore specifically were designed so that they would have corners, and people would wear tzitzis, and they would wear tzitzis all the time. And then he dies, and his whole life he was wearing tzitzis, and now he dies, and you're not going to put tzitzis on him before you bury him? It's like you're saying... You know, he didn't care about tzitzis. He can't say that. So that's the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Menachos says that when he dies, we're going to put tzitzis on him. But nowadays, we're not that careful about tzitzis. Now, I'm not sure what he means by that. Right? Clearly, he means that Clearly, he means that there's been a devalue and a diminishing of the wearing of tzitzis. You know, this idea that this beged katan that we have, right? The what we do is that we put talis katan. We put this like little thing on ourselves, and now it has tzitzis. It's nice, so, you know. Aside from the fact that you don't have to, I'm saying, but their clothing, in other words, the Torah was really remarking to clothing that specifically had four corner garments. We want to get a bonus. We want to get the mitzvah, so we go out of our way to make these garments, which really aren't clothing, to make these garments that had four corner tzitzis. The Ri says, look, but nowadays the lozi here tzitzis kuleha the rabba. The Ri says it would just mean the opposite. Iraminan, if we put tzitzis on the mace, have a log lomer, shakiyim below kiyim. In other words, his whole life he wasn't wearing tzitzis, and now he's dead, you're going to put tzitzis on him? That's ridiculous. Alright, okay, fine. So anyway, so it's interesting how Toso struggles with the idea that putting kalayim on the mace, that absolutely you can do, versus right, and we're not worried about Loeg L'Rosh, versus putting tzitzis on him, which we do, we put on the mace and right, and why? So it's an issue of symbolism, it's an issue of you don't want to speak poorly about how he lived his life. Okay. Various answers to that question. Let us go. Yikes. Okay. Bottom of the page. Tanan. Yain esach shenafal agabe enavin yichdichen vehin mutaras. Vim hayu muvukaros asuros muvukaros in she'en muvukaros lam. The Gemara here is bothered. We just learned a story about wine falling on wheat, on kernels of wheat. And in the story we said, well, it's done, the wheat's done. What do you mean? Can't you just rinse off the kernels of wheat? So, no, the Gemara says very simply, no, wheats have cracks in them. The kernels of wheat are porous, and when the wine goes in, the wine doesn't just simply stay on some superficial level on the wheat, it goes into the wheat, and therefore, done. Chamra atike, top of Samech Vav Amud Aleph Ardaf. Chamra atike be'anve divrei hakol beno Saint Tom. I got old wine with grapes, so they're divrei hakol beno Saint Tom. Everyone agrees they're dissimilar tastes, and since they're dissimilar tastes, so then it's no Saint Tom. Chamra chadata be'anve. But what if I have new wine? What we'll call grape juice, right? Just to make this conversation simple. Grape juice falling on grapes. Abaye Amar ben Mashu, Rava bar ben Osein Tam. So here we have a basic machlokus between Abaye and Rava in terms of ratios. And Abaye says, no ratio. Ben Mashu. The smallest amount of grape juice. When I say grape juice over here, obviously it's forbidden grape juice, right? It's Yain Nesach. Forbidden grape juice that falls onto grapes, so they're similar in taste. I can't distinguish one from the other. Abaye says, Mashahu, no ratio. It will be usher, end of discussion. Oh, but what do you mean? I have so many grapes, I have such little wine, I don't care, says Abaye. No ratio, it's Mashahu, it's through Mashahu. And Rava says, but no same time. Abaye, Amar Mashahu, Basar, time as Leinan. So Abaye says, look, it's Min Bemino. It is similar taste, and there is no ratio of similar tastes.
These are grapes that have cracks on them?
Yes, you must say that. Absolutely. Rava Amar bin no Saint Tom. And Rava says, no, this is an issue of no Saint Tom. Why? Baster Shmazlina, because even though they are similar in taste, they're different in name. Vahai Shmalachud, Vahai Shmalachud. And since they have different names, Ahavale Min Bishaino Mino, therefore they're dissimilar. Min Bishaino Mino, Bin No Saint Tom. Right, you have to understand this is so interesting and so difficult to understand. You have to, right, so I'm going to help us try to understand this. You got to understand, they are both dealing with a fundamental principle that if it's min bimino, if it's similar in taste, done.
Everybody
agrees that it's going to be usser. Mashahu, even the smallest amount. What the point of disagreement is how to define min bimino versus how to define min b'sheino mino. I would dare say Abaye is easy to understand. Because what he's saying is, well, taste it. Meaning, similar is similarity in taste. If it has the same taste, so now I understand. Look, a little bit of grape juice falls into the grape. I can't distinguish the grape juice versus the grape. They both come to my palate and they both have the same taste. It's min b'mino. And therefore it's going to be also b'mashu. And Rava has such an unbelievable chiddush. Rava says, no, that's not min bimino. Why? They have different names. And since they have different names, they're now called dissimilar. Now, I don't know what's in a name. Meaning, you would think, and this is why it's so much easier to understand, that the whole idea of dissimilar tastes is that one taste is going to overpower and just basically obliterate the other taste. That's what you thought min bishino mino mino means. And so therefore, if it's a little bit of wine getting mixed up, old wine getting mixed up with grapes, and if it's so, and if it's such a small amount, and I can't taste the wine anymore, that's min bishino mino.
Nesach, the important thing about Nesach is not it's a taste, it's not tasting different, it's a question of categories that have been.
Yeah, but
so it's not that you can detect any kind of taste difference. You mix some Yain Nezach with other
right. I disagree. The issue over here is an issue of tarovus. It's an issue of mixture, and the issue over here is, do I taste it? Do I not taste it? So again, so Abaye to me is easy to understand. Rav is difficult because Rav says it's all about the name. What is it called? Tanan. So well, let's just get through this one little bit, and we'll have to stop for this morning. So now we go back to our Mishnah. But You know, what is the Mishnah talking about? We only know the Mishnah is talking about Yayin Nesach. So, seemingly the Mishnah is talking about Chamer Charata. It's a funny assumption. I don't know why the Mishnah, why the Gemara starts to offer that assumption, but grape juice and grapes. My love, but no Saint Tom. So the Gemara says, isn't the Mishnah telling us that the ratio is no Saint Tom, 1 to 60? Lo, the mashu. The Gemara says, no, it's not. It's talking about mashu. Ha, midiktani sefer zeh klal kosher banasa menos in tam asa kosher banasa menos in tam mutter. Mechlal de menos in tam askinan. So the Gemara says, you can't say that. Because look at the hemshech of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about no sin tam. The Abaye, and Abaye will tell you very simply. Masnisim b'chamra atika ba'anave. Very simple. The Abaye is going to tell us that the Mishnah is talking about wine, fermented wine. It is dissimilar tastes, not dissimilar names. Good. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.